couple of months after Agai, the prophet spoke the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel and Joshua. Do we remember that? Okay, now where is Zerubbabel and Joshua? At this particular time when Agai spoke to him. They're in the remnants of the ruins of Jerusalem, aren't they? And about 2 months after Zerubbabel and or Haggai spoke to the Zerubbabel and Joshua, Zechariah comes along. He also had words of encouragement and of warning to the people of Israel. So he was really synonymous with Haggai. Haggai was older. Zechariah was a young man, and so he was there at the same time that Haggai was, and we'll find out a little bit later in our studies that Malachi was also there, and we'll pick up on him in our next study. Both prophets, Haggai and Zechariah, were sent by God in the second year of Darius, 520 BC. And they were both sent to go to the, is there a Zerubbabel? I had a hard time saying some of these names. But Zerubbabel and Joshua were there rebuilding Jerusalem. And they had been there for 16 years in this building project. Why do you suppose it took them so long?
They lost their focus. They were more focused on their own homes.
Yeah, that was part of it. What did were they doing this peaceably?
Well, the other, they had Sennacherib and some of these other guys who kept attacking them and keeping them from building the walls.
Yeah, they had some Samaritans, the people that were living in that area at the particular time. And they were giving them grief. Also, they had Arabs in that area that were giving them grief, as well as Amorites. And some of the indigenous people that were living in the surrounding areas. So they had a tough time. And Nehemiah tells us that it was so bad that they worked with one hand and a spear in the other. And they were working 24/7, except for Saturday and Sabbath. But they were working 24 hours a day, and while one shift rested, the other shift worked. So they had the work going on constantly trying to rebuild this wall of Jerusalem. And eventually they got it rebuilt. But it wasn't easy. And we find a lot of information on that in the book of Nehemiah. And that was kind of an interesting reading for me this last week. And Carol said that they were there primarily because they got a little lax in their building project, didn't they? Kind of lost focus where they were supposed to be, and kind of roused them from their selfishness, and to resume work for which 14 years had gone by. It had been suspended for 14 years. Haggai was sent first, as I mentioned before, and 2 months later, Zechariah was sent as well. We might mention again that Malachi is, because we're going to find out that he was there at the same time. So really it's three prophets that are working on trying to keep the children of Israel excited about their future. And a continuance of rebuilding not only the Jerusalem walls, but the temple as well. When all three of them were saying the same thing at the same time, that would just kind of be a double or a triple encouragement. And they're all saying the same things would have a little bit more oomph to it, and get the children of Israel's attention a little bit more thoroughly. As Bill's not here this evening. Bill mentioned last week they had been having problems with the locals, and so they were dealing with lots of problems, but they kind of lost their focus as to what happened.
Cool.
What was Haggai, when he was prophesying and he was there, what was he complaining about? What was he accusing them of? Carol touched on it a few minutes ago. They were building not only the wall of Jerusalem.
Their own houses, is that what you mean?
Yeah, they're building their fancy houses, aren't they? So they're thinking of themselves, and instead of what they were sent there to do in the first place, and that was rebuild the temple. So they've kind of let it go sliding, and here they're rebuilding these fancy houses. And they had been there 2 years with grief, and then another 14 years, they just suspended the work. So now Haggai is accusing them of kind of losing focus of what they were supposed to be there for in the first place, and that was to rebuild the temple. And now Zechariah is there, and he's urging the Jews to complete the rebuilding of the temple as well. Haggai was critical of the Jewish people that were there. These are the exiles that came from Persia, Babylon. They were taken to Babylon and later released by the Persians to come back to Jerusalem and rebuild Jerusalem. But they weren't doing much. Haggai was criticizing them. And Zechariah was there to kind of encourage them, build up their morale. And he did that through some prophecies, and we'll study a little bit briefly about those. We'll find a number of verses from Zechariah mentioned in the New Testament. And most of them are concerning the coming of the Messiah, Christ, his crucifixion, and what he was doing here on earth, providing for in the future. And so this gave them something not only to look for then and there in the present time, but also encouraged them to look towards the future as well. And did you have a question?
No.
Okay. Anybody have a question so far?
Careful.
Okay.
Don't scratch your neck.
I'm alert. We need more of those. So, this is how our study will go. Something like this. Next week, I want you to be ready to study Zechariah first five chapters. Zechariah first five chapters, 1-5. And we'll look at that. We'll start out with the introduction to Zechariah, and then we'll go into some of the prophecies some of the visions that he had. And we'll study those a little bit. Some of them are a little confusing to me, but we'll get to them as best we can. And then the second week on this study, we'll go through chapter 6-8. And then the third week, 9 through 11. And then on the last of the week, we'll go 12 through 14. So that'll give us about 4 weeks to get through this study of Zechariah. But like I mentioned earlier, there's quite a number of prophecies in the future concerning Jesus and his coming. We may get through with some of these chapters a little bit quicker than others, so, you know, might go 1 through 5 and then be able to pick up 6 at the same time or something like that. So it varies a little bit, but we'll take a look at that as we go along. Zechariah saw the needs of these people when he showed up. And these people were newly returned from exile. And he provided specific prophecies about their immediate future as well as the distant future. This had to do had to have a great effect on morale when Zechariah was there, and a great encouragement to him as it concerned some of the good stuff that went on with the Israelites in the future, so they could look forward to that. Anybody have any questions so far? Comments? Okay. In chapter 5, we'll see that the nation would still be judged, that they would also be cleansed. And they would be restored, and God would build to rebuild his people. How long has it been since they were at first or later? Okay, I'm tired. How long were they in exile?
70 years.
70 years, yeah. What happened to Israel, by the way?
Which battles?
Pardon?
It went foul. They didn't produce anything.
You talking about Israel, the country, or
the nation as a country.
They left very few people there, and they.
Well, Israel's gone.
Yeah.
Israel's gone.
Right.
What about Judah?
Well, Judah was 70 years of captivity. Israel was gone.
Yeah, they're gone. They'll never return.
Right. I mean, they came back as the dogs of interbred with the Assyrians, Babylonians, the Persians.
Yeah, they just got sucked into the populace in other countries, and they just disappeared. Mormons think that those 10 lost tribes are the American Indians. How they got here, I don't know, but that's one of the things. It's kind of interesting. But anyway, Israel's long time gone. Now Judah is gone as well, aren't they? They are exiled by who?
The Babylonians.
Yeah, they went to Babylon, didn't they? We know about Babylon, chiefly Nebuchadnezzar. And it was foretold that they would be in exile for a period of 70 years. Is that what happened?
Yeah.
Yeah, they were in exile for 70 years, weren't they? And can anybody relate what caused them to start coming back to Jerusalem? Anybody know a guy named Cyrus?
Yeah, well, the Medes and Persians defeated the Babylonians.
That's right. The Babylonians went by the wayside, didn't they? And then we have the Medes and the Persians. Who's Cyrus? Anybody know who Cyrus was?
King.
King of Persia.
He was king of Persia. And
prophesied in the Bible that he was going to.
Yes, and you know, I meant to look that up to see where that was, and I forgot to do that. But You remember that he, it was prophesied that he was going to be king several hundred years before he became king. Somebody dug it out of the scriptures and showed it to him. And so this is the guy that sent the first group of people to Jerusalem. And they're the ones that got stymied by the locals and rebuilding went by the wayside, didn't it? So now we have another group of people coming into town, some new people, as well as some new prophets, and they're going to kind of light a fire under these people. Who sent them this time? Who allowed them to come? Anybody remember?
Darius?
Yeah, Darius was the king.
But prophecy was Isaiah 45.
Thank you. Yeah, I knew it was there, but I couldn't remember what. I forgot to look it up. But Darius was the king. Who went to him with a long face? Do you remember that?
Nehemiah, wasn't it?
Nehemiah was a wine bearer. Probably the wine taster, because the possibility of poisoning the king. And so they were the ones that were in charge of that. Probably sipped the wine to make sure it was okay before giving it to the king. But anyway, Nehemiah, and he had a long face. And the king asked him, what was going on? And so he said, my country's in ruins, and the temple in my country is in ruins, and it makes me sad. And so Darius was moved, and he sent workers down there, Israelites down there, to Jerusalem to rebuild not only the walls, but the temple as well. Zechariah's writings teach us about things like God's faithfulness and how important trust and obedience is, and hope for restoration and the coming of the Messiah. So we see Zechariah prophesying to the people of Judah after their return from their 70 years of exile. His grandfather, who's his grandfather? But he's mentioned a number of times. Iddo.
Is it King Edo?
Edo, I guess. I don't know. Edo. Yeah, kind of.
Edo.
Yeah. Anyway, he went from exile into Jerusalem. He drug his young grandson with him, Zechariah. So Zechariah was quite young when he arrived in the area of Jerusalem. This was in the reign of Cyrus. But we also learned that Zechariah was also a priest and a prophet. So even though he had never been and never served in a temple, he was certainly familiar with Jewish laws and the worship practices that the Jews performed. We find that he was a young man, and he mentions that in Zechariah, second chapter. So his life probably extended all the way into the reign of Xerxes, 485 to 465. Who knows anything about Xerxes? Who was he? Any other names we know him by? How about Ahasuerus? Anybody know who Ahasuerus was? Who'd he marry? Anybody know about Mordecai?
Esther. Oh, yeah.
Xerxes was another name for Ahasuerus, who was the Persian king. And he was the husband of Esther. So that's kind of an interesting study in its own. He was kind of an oddball type, but he got beat up by the Greeks. So anyway, he eventually would go down the tubes, and the Greeks would come into existence in the powerhouse world, and we'll learn more about that. But there are some visions of that happening as well about the Greeks. And I think that all of us have struggles with discouragement from time to time. I know I do, and seems like problems come along and they just never seem to end. And you get discouraged from time to time. Zechariah, he deals with his share of judgments with the children of Israel, but people of Judah, and beyond that, for that matter, it overflows this book with hope for the future. So we need to remember that kind of issue, when we become discouraged. It's a great book to study. We can get into Zechariah, and it kind of gives you a pleasant feeling and kind of drags you out of your discouragement. So it's easy to get caught up in a depressing
event
of our day to day. Yeah.
Was it Ahasuerus or Artaxerxes? Was he the king after Darius?
Yes, but that was, I think that was, Darius II was the king at the time, and I'm not sure there was another king after him before Xerxes. And
so,
then there was Artaxerxes after him, and then there was, I think, another name for Ahasuerus, or it was Cambyses, I believe.
Because Darius is mentioned in the book of Daniel,
yes.
But I don't know if any other kings are mentioned in the book of Daniel after Darius.
He came after, Ahasuerus came after
Darius.
Yeah.
Right.
And he had the world at his feet, had an incredible empire, and came up against the Greeks, and got defeated and kind of pulled in his horns a little bit. And I think about 2 years after that battle, he got assassinated, if I remember right, by somebody in his service. But it's kind of sad in some ways. Always wondering what happened to Esther. And whether she lived a peaceful life after his death or just exactly what. But they have a tomb in Iran right now that is Esther's tomb, is what they call it. I don't know if that's accurate or not, but it has been defaced a number of times, and because she's Jewish, and of course the Iranians are not happy with that. So, but anyway, we see in Zechariah, and we study that there's a lot of hope for the future, and it speaks wonderful things of the Lord and what he's done for us. But it's easy to get caught up in the depressing events of our day. We look around this day and kind of lose our perspective a little bit and kind of at times live or see people live without hope. So what are we trying to do about that? How are you gonna handle that? Teach each and every opportunity that you get, you need to lay that hope out for them. And that's really sometimes pretty hard. It's hard to speak up when you see somebody down in the dumps. You just kind of walk away and miss opportunities and things like that, which is really too bad. I'm going to have some funds out there where we live because they have a couple of Bible studies going on in the park. They have a men's group that meets together, and not sure I can fit them into our little dinky house. So I have to have it someplace like the clubhouse or something. But anyway, it is easy to get caught up in today's troubles, and boy, I don't know, what do you guys think about how Mr. Trump is doing? He's kind of shaking up the world, isn't he? But anyway, this book serves as a correction for that. Those problems of discouragement that are trending in our lives. But we can have a hope that sure can be. So that's all I have this evening on the book of Zechariah. It's kind of an overshoot. So what we'll do is we'll look into the first 5 chapters and we'll go from there and we'll see how it goes. Anybody have any questions or comments? Anybody questions or comments? Okay. That's it.